The views conveyed by the guest on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. In this episode, pet care wellness professional Kim Gablin shares tips for celebrating National Pet Week and National Dog Moms Day. That's what's on our show, so let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the doggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. As a pet parent, I cherish my pets and appreciate and value the unconditional love they share with me. What better time to show extra love, care, and joy than during National Pet Week? And with us today to share valuable tips for celebrating National Pet Week and the perfect way to end National Pet Week is the celebration of Dog Moms Day. As a pet wellness professional with over 20 years of pet care experience, welcome back to the show, Kim Gablin.
Thank you for having me. Good to talk with you, Sue.
Oh, so good to talk to you. And you know what, Kim? These are two of my favorite holiday celebrations. You know, I have many throughout the year, but these are two that I like really get excited about. And for those that aren't familiar, can you tell us like, what is National Pet Week and where did it originate from?
Yeah. So, you know, National Pet Week started with the American Veterinary Medical Association and its auxiliary. And so it's been around since 1981. And we always observe it the first full week in May. And this year, that happens to be the 4th through the 10th. And it's really what they did was they really wanted to create something to, of course, cherish and celebrate our pets. I mean, I'm all about that, right? Sign me up. I'm all for, you know, doing some more celebration about how much we love our pets and how much they enrich our lives. And they also want to remind us about how to be responsible pet owners. And I think that that's really important, right? We want to make sure we're doing the right thing for our pets because they give so much to us. So that's really what this week is really all about.
And you know what? You're so right. Our pets give us so much love. What better way to celebrate? And now that they have a week of celebration, it makes it even better. What are some things to keep in mind to be sure we're being responsible, caring, and overall fabulous pet parents?
So the way that the AVMA looks at this is they actually have divided each day into a different responsible pet ownership topic. So I love it. So the first one really kind of starts with choosing well and committing for life. And this is really an important one. I mean, I think we all get really excited about having a pet in our household. And, you know, certainly, so we've talked about this a lot over the time, right? You want to make sure you're prepared. You know, you're not just, you know, getting something for a few months or for a year. I mean, this is really a lifetime of love that you're trying to support, right? So it's important to consider how that pet will fit into your life, you know, whether you're thinking about a reptile or a cat or a furry dog, right? You really want to make sure that they're going to fit into your life and your lifestyle. So, you know, if you have a dog, some bigger dogs might need more exercise and activity, you know, like border collies and Jack Russell Terriers. I always say they have to have a job, right? Mm-hmm. They need something to do. And so that's really important. And also they, you know, you want to make sure that they'll get along with the rest of the pets in your household. You know, if you have kids, you know, you have to take that into consideration, or maybe you don't have kids right now, but maybe you'll have kids shortly. You know, how will they fit into your life? So it's always really important. And there's so much to think about, right? There's costs, you know, not just for food. You know, obviously if you have a big dog, that's a lot of food that you're feeding them every month, right? Versus if you have some smaller dogs, which I'm sure you can attest to, mm-hmm. You know, smaller dogs don't eat as much.
That's a myth, but...
And so, you know, it's important to kind of think about those vet visits you're going to have to do, you know, leashes, beds, you know, do you have that time and attention to give them? So it really is, I mean, you and I have talked about this before, but it really is thinking about what exactly will your pets need and how much, you know, can you give them? Are you willing to do that? And are you willing to do that for not just a year or two, but for maybe 8 or 10 or 18 years, right? It's a long time that it can be for.
And you know what, Kim, you're so right. It's so important to research all this because you need to know if they fit into your life, your lifestyle, your family's lifestyle, because they're family members. They're going to be with you for the rest of their lives. So I know we took in the past year a dog, 4 years old. She's adorable, but she wasn't used to children, and they had a child, and then they moved into a smaller place. And so she needed a home. We took her in. Of course, I always foster them and then they never leave. Mm-hmm. But it was because, you know, you have to plan. Are you going to have a family? Is this the type of dog to have with a family? So you're right. It's so important to plan ahead when it's a family member. You're bringing in someone who is going to be with you for the rest of their lives.
The other thing I wanted to mention was, you know, when I was first looking for a dog, I didn't realize all of that. Like, I didn't realize that dogs have different personalities, have different exercise needs, might need to be grooming, you know, have grooming, that kind of thing. So it really is, you know, you really do have to do your research, like you said, Sue. That's really important.
Yes.
The second day in the week is about behavioral health, or, you know, how to keep your pet happy. And so, you know, being able to make sure that you're having positive interactions can help your pet have a happy and positive outlook, right? That kind of connects with them, right? And then they're happy and positive as well. So, you know, with dogs, of course, we talk about training. Training is so important. It's so important for your dog to know what to expect. When you're in a certain place, how should they act? And so it's really important for them to know that. So getting them training is really, really key. And the key commands would be like sit and stay, down, come, leave it, you know, heel and off, right? Those are the main things. Those are like the entry level. You should,
every dog. Those basics, they all should know it. Yeah.
Yes. And it's important because those are things that'll keep them out of trouble and stop them from getting hurt. As well, they're not just good behavior things. They're also things that are safety things for them. And so helping your pet, you know, be in a variety of situations is always really important too. Being able to, you know, take them to the park and do things. You know, one of the things that I learned from Joel Silverman, because we did a lot of training with Joel Silverman, Joel explained that it's important to take them to different places and do sit and stay. So not just in the kitchen, but in the family room, not just in the family room, but outside, not just outside in the backyard, but, you know, at the park. So all those things then help them understand that, oh, this is the word sit, and it means sit, and I sit no matter where I am. It's not just situational. So there's a lot to training and kind of giving them the positive attitude.
Yes.
Is there anything special that you do, Sue, when you're thinking about when you have a new dog or when you're trying to help them kind of understand?
Well, because we have a multi-dog household. So I, number one, have to make sure that you know, that they're familiar, that they're socialized. If not, we work on the socialization. They always have to know their basic commands so that for their own protection as well as for us. But I find that they all like routines. I try to get them in the same routine.
Yes.
And as you said, Kim, like training, socialization, it's so important. But it's not only important for the pet, it's also important for the pet parent, because it like creates that bond and it's kind of like a trust thing. So that's what I always found training. And I learned a lot of that from Joel. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, and that bond is really critical, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, of course they'll love you. Of course, you're feeding them. Those kinds of things are going to connect with you, but it just makes that bond be deeper. And then, like you said, there's more trust and more love. And I love that. So that's really important. The third day really focuses on nutrition and exercise. And so, of course, exercise is important, just like it is for us. It's important for your pet, right? For your dog. And so you want to make sure that you're helping to keep them healthy and active. And you know why? Well, you know, heart health, mental health, and it even, like, you know, we're just talking about the bond, it even helps strengthen that bond that we have together. So, you know, being able to get them the exercise they need is important. And, you know, that doesn't mean go out and do an hour run, you know, I mean, obviously I couldn't go do that, especially right off the top. But, you know, maybe start out with a few minutes, you know, maybe you spend 5 minutes a day going out, then maybe you go twice a day for 5 minutes a day, and you kind of work your way up to something where you can see that your dog is doing fine, is feeling comfortable, is not getting exhausted. You know, make sure you're bringing some water with you, those kinds of things, right? To help them stay healthy. And part of that healthiness is really about watching their weight. And, you know, right now, over 50% of dogs are considered overweight.
Wow.
And, you know, so I hate to hear that.
Yes.
You know, so I think the challenge is, you know, it's so critical to have your dog at a healthy weight. And so you want to make sure you're not overfeeding. You know, I've talked about this a lot in the past.
Yes.
You know, you want to make sure you're measuring your food. Start with the instructions that are on your dog food bag. not giving a lot of extra treats or a lot of extra, people food to be able to ratchet those calories up and have them gain weight. And then you have to watch them, right? As you're feeding them that amount of food on a consistent basis, is their weight going up and do you need to reduce that food a little bit? Or is their weight going down and you need to add a little food? I mean, those are just averages that dog food companies use to be able to kind of give you an idea of what you should be feeding, because every dog, just like every person, is different. So it's really, really important to be able to manage all of that and make sure that you're really helping your pet be healthy.
You know what's interesting, Kim? It's not even interesting. It's very concerning that over 50% of dogs are overweight. Mm-hmm. And you're so right that a healthy diet, exercise, it's so important for weight control, impacting our pet's health. But one of the things I did learn from you throughout the years is I measure my food. They get the right amount each day. I split it between two. I feed my dogs twice a day. But it's the treats. People go, well, I only give them a quarter of a cup. Yeah, but how many treats do? Oh, treats? Because yeah. The treats add up. If it's not a low-calorie treat or something that, maybe it's a bigger treat, you might have to break it down. You might have to. There's a lot of things that you can do to compensate for giving your pet a treat, but not overfeeding it. Because it's like us. If I want to have, if I eat a very balanced meal and then I go and I have 40 cookies, mm-hmm. I think I defeat my purpose. It's a bad idea.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think people don't realize that. And now there's actually that information about how many calories is on every treat, everything that you feed your pet is on all of our packaging. So you can see now when you look at, a treat you bought, how many calories that is. And then you can compare them, right? Oh, well, maybe this treat is only, 5 calories a treat, but this treat is a chew and it's 100 calories. So you can really kind of make some better decisions that way.
Absolutely.
And of course, one of the days for National Pet Week focuses on seeing your vet, right? Mm. Having your dog go to the vet on a regular basis for preventative care is really super critical for their health and their quality of life. Getting their shots, finding any issues early, that can really save you a lot of grief and money in the long run. And I know that it can be expensive to go to the vet, but it can be more expensive, later on down the road if you don't find something early and then you're trying to treat it. And that's just so much heartache and grief and then sometimes having to make difficult decisions about what you do and don't do because, mm-hmm. It may not be affordable at the time. So it's really important to try to make sure that you get them in there early. And that often means better health for your pup. Dogs are masters, right? Dogs are masters. They were feral, right? So they mm-hmm. are masters at hiding how they feel.
Absolutely.
They don't want you to know that they're mm-hmm. sick. They don't want you to know that they have anything that could be considered a sickness or that they're weak. They have a weakness. So they're very, very good at hiding that. So I think that's, it's important to remember that they may not look like they're sick, but there may be something going on that maybe you didn't see or notice.
And that's so important to know because they can't tell us.
No.
So we have to be able to do preventive care for them, their annual physicals, their dentals, everything that has to be done like in a preventive way. And we're so lucky we've been going to the same vet for almost 25 years. And she's gone through all of our pets, but we know what to expect. They have senior specials for wellness. And so, they let us know when things are going on that they're having, that there may be something that they're, promoting. Like if you have a senior pet, almost all my pets are seniors. So it's really good. You work with your vet and it's like us. We work with our doctors. We go for our annual physicals. If we have, a sinus infection, we hurt ourselves, somehow we will go to the doctor. That's how we have to look upon the vet so that it doesn't turn out to be, like you said, it could be catastrophic.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important to find a vet you feel comfortable with.
Yes.
Who understands you and kind of how you think about the health of your pet and who you feel like you can trust, right? Who you mm-hmm. feel like is really paying attention to the things you might bring up or to your dogs. And so that's really important as well, to find someone that you feel comfortable with. Even though they might not be the vet next door, they might be, a little further away. It's mm-hmm. important to find that right vet for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then another day that we'll be focusing on for that week is traveling with care, right? So we always want to take our dogs with us. So, there's so much a part of our family. We want to travel with them. And so it's important that whether you're traveling to the park or even across the country, there are lots of things you can do to keep your dog safe. And I know people don't always like to hear this,
But, you know, in the car, there's a lot of challenges, right? So that you want to make sure that you're helping your dog to stay safe and get an appropriate safety device. You know, there are vehicle harnesses, there are crates or carriers that you can put your dog in. And, you know, as much as you love to have them in your lap, I really do suggest, you know, you never know when you're going to get into an accident or something's going to happen. You have to stop short that they could get hurt.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talked about, you know, having them in a crate or having them in an appropriate device. And they have all kinds of things that, you know, the seatbelt tether, all different things so that your dog can. I have three that go in a crate and one that will not. So she has her own little seatbelt. But I had a friend who got in a horrible car accident and she had her dog with her and the dog didn't have a leash on and the dog escaped and ran away.
Oh no.
And it took quite a long time to locate it. So always have your dog in a device and also have the leash on, because if perhaps it does get away or something happens, it's easier to catch him with the leash. That I always have a leash in my car. If I see something running or doing something, I'm the one that goes running after them. I'm the crazy lady that goes running after them with the leash. And I've got that little thing in the back of my truck for if I find a turtle or a bird that's hurt. I'm that woman. But, you know, it's just good to remember to have yourself all set up in your car so that, you know, heaven forbid that your dog does get out and you don't have them with a leash or properly tethered.
And that's why we love you, Sue, because you're ready to rescue. No matter what's going on, it's important.
I just did it the other day. It was like, I was like, oh my God, I have to go get my little case and the people behind me. Everybody gets involved, Kim. Everybody came to help me and get it in the, you know, my SUV, my little carrier. And they're going, oh my gosh, I got to get set up like this because I live in an area, there's a lot of wildlife. So, but it's, you never know.
You never know. You never know. And then you never know what the weather's going to be like, too, right? So cars also pose a hazard when it comes to getting too hot or getting too cold. You know, you don't want to go out and leave your dog in the car. That's just not okay. And so you want to make sure that if you're going out, that either someone's going to be in the car with them and so they can make sure that they're cool enough or warm enough and the temperature's okay. Or, you know, just leave them at home. You know, it might be just better to leave them at home. You just don't want to leave them in a parked car. And then, you know, obviously traveling long distances, you know, I flew a lot. Both my dogs have flown cross country. And so it's really important to understand what the rules are for travel and, you know, when your dog can fly, if you have them in the compartment inside the aircraft with you or whether they're flying as luggage or baggage, like in a freight area. It's important to know what the rules are so that you're meeting those rules and that you don't have any surprises and that you're prepared, right, when things, if and when things go wrong. Because certainly there can be challenges with weather or airplanes. You know, you might have to be delayed. It's important for you to have like extra food, extra water, and make sure that you're keeping a track of them at all times when you're on the aircraft or when you're flying or when you're driving long distances as well.
The key is to prepare and plan. And also, we're talking about airports. You know, they're changing it, right? As you and I are talking about this, the requirements, all of these things are changing. So make sure that you contact your airport, let them know what you're doing beforehand. And so that when you get there, it's not, you know, something that there's a postponement or something, there's confusion.
Yeah, so. That absolutely can happen. So that's really important to kind of be prepared because sometimes things will go wrong when you least expect it.
Exactly.
And that's, of course, the topic of our next day, right, is being prepared for emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is so broad, right? You know, as we all know, things don't always go according to plan. You know, when we have pets, especially, there are emergencies that you want to plan for in advance to make sure that everyone in your family, including your pets, can be as safe as possible. And so, you know, knowing what to do in an emergency, being able to put together a first aid kit, I know that's one of the topics we've talked about in the past. Practicing your fire evacuation plan with your pets and your family, making sure everybody knows who's going to get which pet and how we're going to get out of the house quickly, making sure you have a good current photo of them. You know, have you taken a photo recently, especially if you have a puppy and they're changing and they're growing?
Mm-hmm. Or you're grooming them. When you groom them, they change as you groom them.
Absolutely. So, you know, make sure you have a current picture of them, you know, that they have their collar on with their ID. You know, now that it's getting warmer, we're going outside more often, you know, making sure you have that there just in case they get off a leash and get away from you. That's really important to do. And, you know, and if you have a chip, make sure your chip is up to date in terms of your address and your phone number, because I know sometimes those things change and we forget to update everything.
Yep.
So that's doing all of that will hopefully make it less stressful for you in the long run, you know, when an emergency does happen.
Well, and also we've talked about this in the past about the importance of keeping your vet's phone number and our cell phones
Yes.
If, you know, heaven forbid our pets get sick, but we can make the appointment, but, you know, we could hook it right in, take them to the vet. But, you know, you have a great tip for the emergency hospitals, too. You put it in a special way so we could sort of differentiate between our regular vet and an emergency vet.
Yeah, you know, I always forget the name of my emergency vet. So I've always put in my phone ICE, that in case of emergency, ICE vet.
That's wonderful.
And so, yeah, so then I can put their name in there and then I know who they are, but I can find them easily because I'm going to forget their name because I just don't use it very often. Mm-hmm. So that is really a great tip to be able to find, you know, I know my regular vet, but you're just not going to always know your emergency vet. Or maybe you want to do the couple of emergency vets that are near you just to make sure you've got a couple of them in there and ready at the ready when you need them.
You know, Kim, that's so important because, you know, like you just said, we have our regular vets. But when you have an emergency, you know, when that happens, you want to be able to react so that you could save. Obviously, if it's a life-threatening situation, saving a pet's life or something that's critical so that you can get them taken care of immediately. But it's also important to update the contact information of your emergency clinic, because if it's changed, if their hours are changed, or in some cases they may be relocated or even closed. There's, you know, there's a yes. lot of things that are going on in the emergency vet communities right now where they're either coming together, you know, there's things that can change. So I'll just give an example. We went to the same emergency clinic for over 20 years. They knew us. They knew our pets. Everyone was in there. And when Olive got really sick a few years ago, we called there first and their answering machine said they changed their number. So they were no longer a 24-hour vet and they weren't going to be open for 4 more hours. So we had to start calling around and we had no idea where to go. So we went to an emergency clinic that was open and we were not familiar with them. They were not familiar with us. Mm-hmm. Olive was special needs. They were not familiar with her and her history. So just take it from me. When our beloved pets are in crisis, you want to be prepared for that emergency and know where you're taking them. Research them first. Take the time to do it ahead of time so that the result isn't like a heartbreaking tragedy, because you never know. It's, as you said, it's so much better to be prepared and to know ahead of time and to have it right in your phone and to have two alternates, because as I said, hours may change, locations may change, you know, the whole thing may change, it could close. Yeah. So have yeah. two in your phone. It's so important. And some of us, you know, when we learn this, we learn it in a very heartbreaking way. So all of you benefit from what I learned.
That is great advice, Sue, because things do change. And so, mm-hmm. and especially if you're not paying attention because you don't normally need them. But
yeah.
I love having it in your phone. I love having yes. a couple of options because I feel like my phone is always with me. So mm-hmm. if I'm away or doing something else, it's, you know, I'm out in the park or whatever, I still have my phone and I still could contact them, you know, as opposed to, you know, keeping it on the refrigerator where I might have kept it maybe a few years ago.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, I still have my old one up there. Never around anymore. Oh, gosh.
Well, and of course, last but not least, as we wrap up National Pet Week, right, the last day on the 10th, is, you know, really to plan for a lifetime of love. And so thinking about helping your pet have an active lifestyle, giving them better nutrition, getting them the preventative veterinary care they need. You know, dogs are living longer than they ever have. So, you know, it's important, you know, to think about that, right? As they get older, as they get more senior, it's really important for them to think about them getting older and what they might need, right? Even if they're not showing signs, like a lot of times your dog may be 6 or 7 or 8, you know, depending on if the larger they are, the younger they tend to get into that more senior lifestyle, that more mature lifestyle, then you might not see that right away, but it's okay because, you know, you just want to be knowing your dog. You want to be, what does your dog do? You know, are you seeing them limp? Are you seeing them maybe not eat as much as they used to? And they might not eat quite as much as they used to because they're not as active, but there may be something else going on, right? So it's important to think about that. Take your dog to the vet. A lot of veterinarians these days, they actually have senior tests that they'll do when your dog is a little bit older. Again, looking for those signs that something may be going on or something may be happening and trying to address them early. So I feel like that's really important to be able to think about as your dogs age and get a little older. You want to be able to support them and keep them as healthy for as long as you can.
Absolutely.
And you're a great example of that, Sue. I mean, your dogs live such a long time. They're just that you can tell that you take such good care of them and that you're cognizant of all those things, right? And you're rewarded with that to be able to have more time with them.
Thank you. And thanks so much. And the advice that you've shared with our listeners, all the pet parents out there throughout the years, they've benefited from it. And I'm so glad that the show has turned into something that is a great, that people can use it as like a reference. And I'm glad that we can help. And, you know, and you're a big part of that. So I want to thank you very much.
Thanks. I love sharing knowledge and I love being able to learn from people too, right? I learn as we go along whenever we chat. So this is really great for me too. So I appreciate that.
Me too. Thank you.
Yeah. And so if you want to learn a little bit more about National Pet Week, go out to avma.org. And they do have some more detailed tips on taking care of your dog. And of course, you know, I always recommend listening to Sue and the Doggy Diva and make sure that you get some tips there because there's always really great tips that come out of all of your shows.
Oh, thank you, Kim. And I just want to, let's just take a quick break. And then when we return, we'll share some fun tips on celebrating. Love this. Dog Mom's Day. We'll be back in just a moment. Hello, everyone. Susan Marie here to tell you about the award-winning three-book series, The Doggy Diva Diaries. It is a trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup, hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In this series, Miss Olive learns that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the kindness and love you have on the inside that counts. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. And please visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information. Thank you, everyone. Welcome back, everyone. I am here with Kim Gablin. And Kim, I love this holiday. And it's a relatively new holiday, but I love it. Can you talk a little bit about Dog Mom's Day? It's on May 10th. And do you have any like fun ideas on how we could celebrate?
Yeah, I love this too, Sue. I think Dog Mom's Day is an awesome idea. It's May 10th, the day before Mother's Day. And so whether you celebrate on the 10th or the 11th, I think it's really fun to be able to kind of think about moms and what they do for our pets, right? So National Dog Mom's Day was created by the dating app Dig Dates. And so if you're wondering what Dig Dates is, it's a dating app for dog parents.
They were on my show years ago. They're two sisters and they founded this and they were so excited. They were so happy. It was just getting ready to kick off. I'm so happy for them.
Yeah, I think this is great. So this was a great idea by them. And obviously, I think even the app is a great idea, right?
Yes.
So, you know, if someone else likes dogs, then they're probably a good person, right? Mm-hmm. So good to get to know them.
Exactly.
For Mom's Day, I think, you know, no matter when you're celebrating, there are plenty of ways to kind of savor the day. And so, you know, and if you're a dog dad, we're not dissing you at all here. You're going to get your day in June, so it's okay. Mm-hmm. This is just Mom's Day in May. So, you know, first and foremost, I personally think, and I don't know how you feel about this, Sue, I think mom should decide how Mom's Day is celebrated. What do you think?
Yes, I'm all for that.
You know, so I think, I mean, and certainly, you know, we can kind of go from mild to wild in terms of what we could do, you know, for the day. And so I always say it's important to take a day like this and commemorate with a photo.
Yes.
You know, I never have, when I look back on my dogs, I never really probably have as many photos as I think of them. And so it's a great time to kind of, you know, it could be as easy as a selfie with your dog. It could be at home, you know, you could get a friend to go out to the park with you or in the backyard or wherever and have them help you kind of take some candid shots. Or, you know, there are just so many photographers that are out there that will also go on location and
yes,
really beautiful shots with you, like give you some suggestions and everything. And so, I it's so great to have those memories someplace where you always have them and you could turn them into like art. You know, you could have it painted, you know, like you can turn those photos into paintings.
Yeah.
You can actually like put it on a t-shirt or on your coffee mug. I mean, there's so much you could do with that. Like it really has a lot of opportunity.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, and I love the fact that I think you're like me, Kim. We love to take photos and savor the moments and we can look back on it. So this is like a great suggestion. I love it.
So it's real simple. It doesn't have to, like I said, doesn't have to be a big thing, but I think it's really good. And I just think having it is just priceless. It really is priceless.
Yes.
You could also do a dog mom meetup. Mm-hmm. You know, who are your friends have dogs? Like you go to the park together, right? Go find a patio, you know, and have some nice time together, you know, have some snacks, whatever it might be. I mean, you could really have some time, you know, have some fun times with your friends and, you know, trade tips and just relax together and kind of, you know, value your other dog moms and how they feel about their dogs. So that'd be kind of fun, too.
I think that's a fun idea because you're with people who have so much in common with you and you're all there for the, you know, you're all hanging out with your pups for the same reason. I love it.
Yeah, that's always fun. What about, you know, I know this could be kind of controversial, Sue, but what about maybe having somebody else do dog duty for the day for you? as a guest.
Oh, no, not controversial.
I'd say, you know, not that I'm saying that we don't like to take care of our dogs or whatever, but it'd be nice sometimes to just have a day off from picking up stuff in the backyard or feeding your dog or cleaning the bowls or, you know, taking them to the groomer or whatever. So, you know, maybe somebody in the family or a friend might be able to help you and you could kind of just get the day off from, you know, all the duties, but you could still get all the love and hugs and care with your dog.
That's what I was going to say. And I'm lucky because, you know, John, my husband, John, he's very good with this stuff. He will take them on special occasions and say, okay, well, I'll get up and feed them. And, you know, because everybody has their own diet. Everybody has their own this. And mm-hmm. So it's like a science experiment, putting everyone's meal together. So he takes care of it. I put up the directions. He lets them out to go to the bath. Like there's a lot of things that I do just by routine. He takes care of it. And then when they come back in, I'm already like having my coffee. They're all running around me. They're all happy. And I'm going, yes. This is what it's all about. Dog Mom's Day. I get all the benefits. I love it.
Yep, nice to get all the kisses and cuddles.
Get all those kisses and cuddles. Exactly. I love it.
And then I'd also say, hey, have dinner together. So, you know, maybe you're a homebody, you know, order some food in or go pick up a nice dinner or whatever, or maybe go out to your favorite restaurant, right? All the patios are opening up. Yes. Like maybe you could go to the patio and, you know, your dog could, you could bring some food for your dog to have, and then you could have something really nice that you'd enjoy. That could be a really kind of fun thing to do. That's a special thing that you could do together as well.
And there's so many pet-friendly restaurants out there. I mean, you could even go to a coffee shop. They have the tables outside and the bowls all ready for you with your dog. So whether it's a restaurant, and I even find when we don't have a dog with us, we always tend to go to all the pet-friendly restaurants. It's just like, okay, we'll go there. They're pet-friendly. Oh, wait a minute. We don't have a pet with us. But that's okay. Well, and we usually do, though.
And don't forget about ordering a special dessert for yourself, right? Yeah. To celebrate the day and your amazing dog momness. And, you know, you'll have to bring along a few treats for your fur babies too. So
yes,
that's always a fun thing to be able to go out and do.
Fine.
Yeah. And last but not least, you know, and probably one of my favorites would be, how about just a cuddle day? You know, just spending the day together, give your dog the chance to spoil you for a change, right? Yeah. We're often so busy with our lives. We're often running around from this thing to that thing to another thing. And so why don't we just kind of slow down and just enjoy being together? You know, it could be snuggling and cuddling. It could be, you know, turning on our favorite show and, you know, doing a streaming for a while and watching some TV for a little bit together. You know, that snuggling and cuddling can really be taken for granted. So we want to make sure that we're focused on just our dog and the love and the care we have for each other. I think that that's kind of a really special time to spend together.
Absolutely. And snuggling with our pups, you know, it's such a special time, not only for us, but it's special for them and for us. I always say it's a great bonding time.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to take a break. It's nice to kind of be present.
Mm-hmm.
Not think of anything else, kind of empty your head of some of those things, just even if it's for an hour that day, empty it and just really kind of appreciate and love your dog, you know, just purely and simply, and just spend some quality time looking into each other's eyes. I think that that's a great way to be able to do it. But any way you spend Mom's Day is a fantastic National Dog Mom's Day.
Absolutely. And Kim, you know, I got to thank you so much for being our guest. And as always, you share such valuable and fun tips so that pet parents can celebrate with their pups or enjoy their pups. Or, you know, here we are, we're celebrating National Pet Week and then winding up at the end of the week with National Dog Mom's Day. And of course, we have Mother's Day right after that. So these are so special. And these are such special tips that you gave us on how to celebrate and also be aware of a lot of things so that we not only are caring for our pups and our pets, but also letting them love us and us love them the way that it makes it work. It's happy. It's fun. It's great. That's perfect.
Yeah, no, it's a great week to remind us, right, of all the things that are important in our relationship with our dogs.
That was important every day. Like you said earlier, it's just fun to be able to celebrate it at a certain time. Very happy week starts out fun, ends out fun.
Indeed.
So, So happy National Pet Week and much puppy love to all you dog moms out there and all you moms celebrating your special days. So thank you very much. And Kim, happy National Pet Week and happy National Dog Mom's Day and Mom's Day.
Thank you. Happy National Mom's Day to you too.
Thank you. We'll be back in just a moment. We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, Please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at The Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.